Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Before we go to those verses in chapter 6, I would like to read a number of scriptures that relate to the tribulation period. How many years will the tribulation period last? 7 years. 7 years. Okay. And he, the beast, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. For the overspreading abominations, he shall make it desolate. Now the Lord refers to his people as the desolate. The children of Israel in this passage is referred to as the desolate. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that's referring to the Antichrist when he goes into the temple and he wants to be worshiped as God, that is the abomination of desolation. Spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and it says, stand in the holy place. That's the Antichrist. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains, for then shall be great tribulation. Matthew 24, 15, 16, and 21. And the woman, which is Israel, fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that she shall feed her there 1,260 days, Revelation 12, 6. In the prophetic year, of course, there are 12 months, but in the prophetic year, the days are 30 days a month. Times 12 is 360 days equals 1,260 days is exactly 3.5 years. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it's given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Interesting. Did you hear how many days? Exactly 3.5 years. The witnesses are chapter 7. 144 witnesses is chapter 7. We didn't get there yet. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Matthew 24 and 22. Okay. Some more scriptures that have to do with tribulation period. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. He's referring to the Antichrist. John 5, 42 and 43. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 16, referring to tribulation period. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell. Are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Isaiah 28, verse 14 and 15. It never pays to turn to the devil for help. What's God's answer? And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. Isaiah 28, 18. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Isaiah 30 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Zechariah 13, 8 and 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for another wonderful opportunity to share your precious and holy word. Father, prepare our hearts now to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, and you have your Bibles, Revelation chapter 6. Give me the chart, please. Revelation chapter 6. There are four riders of the apocalypse. There are four living creatures before God's throne. You'll find angels dispensing the judgments after this. The first set of judgments, the Lord Jesus Christ himself opens the seal. The first seal that he opens, there's a thunder and a voice that comes from one of the living creatures that says, come and see. Come and see is the dispensement of the first rider of the apocalypse, a white horse and a rider thereon. The rider has a crown and the rider has a bow. Okay, other one, sorry. We need the one with the tribulation period. This is Daniel's 70th week. There we go. Okay, this is where we're at today. This is the seven seals. We're right here. This is where we're at today. This is the opening of the first seal. Now, assuming there's three sets of seven judgments. Now, we would immediately assume 3 times 7 is what? We would assume there's 21 judgments, but that's only an assumption. That's not accurate. Here's what happens. The seal is open. We have the first horse, the second horse, the third horse, the fourth horse. And then we come to the last seal. When that seal is opened, it introduces this judgment right here. The opening of the last seal simply introduces the first judgment of the next seven. And we come here to the last trumpet. The seventh trumpet introduces, that's right, the first judgment of the vials or the bowls. Well, Pastor, what about the last one? The last vial introduces the end of the tribulation period. Okay? So we actually have 18 judgments, not 21. It's interesting that the seventh seal introduces the beginning of the next set of judgments. That's interesting. God's number is 7, isn't it? Man's number is 6. It's interesting that with God's number, it's just an introduction to the next set of judgments. Okay, we have chapter 6 takes care of this set of seals. Revelation chapter 8 and 9 takes care of this set. This is the first quarter of the tribulation period. This is the second quarter of the beginning of the tribulation period. This is the Antichrist. The reason he's in the middle is he's going to break the covenant that he signed with Israel. He's going to break the covenant. That's why he's in the middle. He's going to change his mind after 3.5 years and say, you know what? I decided you need to stop with your sacrificing in the temple. So he changes his mind. This is where it says, when they shall cry, peace, peace, sudden destruction shall befall them. And so he does this in the middle of the week. Then what is referred to as the Great Tribulation Period is this period. That's the worst part of the tribulation period is this right here. And that happens in chapters 15 and 16. Chapter 6, chapters 8 and 9, where's chapter 7? We'll get there. We'll get there between here. Chapter 7 is actually things that's happening during tribulation period, such as the marking of the Christians. The Christians will receive a mark. Who else receives a mark? Those who will follow the Antichrist will receive a mark. They won't be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. So that's going to happen right in here somewhere. Right there is where that's going to happen. So even when we get to chapter 7, which you think should be here, it's actually here. Chapter 7 is about right here, if we need to put it. Up until now, Revelation has been chronologically correct. And it's still somewhat chronologically correct. It's just that there's going to be some overlapping going on. There'll be some overlapping going on. Chapter 7 is going to be happening right in through here. Chapter 7 is still going to be in here somewhere. It didn't get moved. It's just going to be right in here. But for the sake of the judgments, we have them in chronological order. That's just for the sake of the judgments. Chapter 7 is right here. Then we'll talk to you about what's happening in chapter 7. Chapter 6 is tribulation period. Okay. The white horse. Are you with me? Chapter 6. I saw and behold a white horse. There'll be another white horse in Revelation. Don't be confused. That white horse will have Jesus on. And that'll be in chapter 19 when he comes back. He'll be riding a white horse, unlike the donkey who rode into Jerusalem when it was a time of peace. This time, it'll be a time of war. And he'll be riding the white horse, just like the emperors did. But that's in chapter 19. This white horse is Antichrist. Pastor, why would you say that it's Antichrist? Well, let's look at a few things. First of all, you can put the horse up if you have it. I think we have one of the pictures of the horses. The first one we need. Get a picture up there and I'll show you what we're talking about. The horse rider has a crown and he has a bow. There we go. You see this? Crowns are given to those that are conquerors. And he has a bow. Where's his quiver of arrows? Where's his arrows at? There is none. He's going to be a man of peace and safety. He's going to conquer with this, diplomacy. He's going to do it with fancy words and fancy speeches. He will conquer in a diplomatic way. He has no arrows, so that's the Antichrist. That's how we know. You want to know more about the Antichrist? Put a mark in Revelation. I'll give you a description of Antichrist. Let's go all the way back to Daniel. We have a description of him. We have a real good description of Antichrist, of what he's going to be like and what he's going to do and the things he's going to say. Ezekiel, Daniel, I didn't put a marker in it. I wasn't planning to go there today, but since there we are. Okay, chapter 8. If you have your Bibles and you can make a note of it, chapter 8 we're going to talk about the Antichrist. What's he going to be like? Okay, he's the little horn. He is the little horn that's spoken about in Daniel. Okay, verse 23, chapter 8 of Daniel, verse 23. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. That's the Antichrist. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. What's that mean? Well, the devil's going to infuse him. The devil will possess him. He'll be possessed much like Judas was. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper. That's the crown. Oh, okay. That would be the crown on his head. He shall prosper. And he shall destroy wonderfully. That's why he's got a crown. He will achieve what he's trying to do because God Almighty has given him the power to do so. Remember, God said, I will send them a strong delusion that they shall believe a lie. The Antichrist is the lie. And a lot of people are buying into it. Right now, they're buying into it. And they'll be the same people who will vote for the Antichrist. Hello. They will. They'll realize that it's too late what they did. He shall be mighty, not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Tribulation period, he will destroy. We will have the greatest revival this world has ever known will occur in the tribulation period. There'll be more people saved in the tribulation period than all the time in the world of all the revivals. It'll be the greatest revival. But what they don't know is how they will die. They'll be saved. The Holy Spirit will work with them and they'll get saved in the tribulation period. But it's going to do what? It's going to cost them the guillotine. It's going to cost them their lives. That's why the Bible says there was a multitude that no man can number standing before the throne. And they are they which have dipped their robes in blood. They're the ones saved in the tribulation period. That's the group that we're talking about when Revelation says there was a multitude, multitude, multitude from all nations and tongues and all over the world. People will be saved in the greatest revival that's ever taken place on this planet Earth. But it will cost them their lives. And through his policy, also, he shall cause craft to prosper, great economy. In his hand he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. The prince of princes is Jesus Christ. And he'll be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. He will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Boy, I have so much information. I don't always know where to start. Let's make you right now a Jewish congregation. I'm going to put before you a scenario that you are all Jewish. You're all Jewish here this morning. And so now I want to talk to you about the seven Jewish feast days. How many of you heard of the feast days? The Jews keep, they were to use these feast days continually. They were to observe these feast days continually throughout their life. We don't know how much time is going to take place after the rapture of the church. We are now in heaven. We've been raptured. The tribulation period is going to begin at the signing of the treaty with Israel. That's how they'll know who the Antichrist is. He will sign a treaty with Israel. When he signs it, then you'll know. We won't know. We'll be in heaven. Using the feast days, this is interesting to observe. Jesus was crucified on Passover. That was the first feast day. Jesus was in the grave on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That was the second feast day. Jesus arose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. That's the third feast day. Why would it be important for Jesus to arise from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits? Jesus Christ had to be the first fruits to go to heaven. Now, before Jesus, all those people from Genesis all the way up until the time of Jesus, when they died, they didn't go to heaven, folks. Where did they go? I heard it. Paradise. They went to a place called paradise. Paradise was located in the center of the earth. It's still there, but it's not paradise. it's actually hell has been extended because of all the people going to hell. Actually, the great gulf that was fixed between paradise and Hades, that great gulf has been done away with, and hell has expanded itself. Isaiah the prophet said that. Isaiah said hell hath expanded itself. And that would have taken place when Jesus Christ was in the grave. Now, do you really think that Jesus was laying in that tomb for 3 days? No. He was busy. He was busy. We have some indication by one of the writers that he led captivity captive, that's Ephesians, but he went into hell itself and had preached a revival. That's where he went. He went into hell itself, into Hades. He went there. And that's what he did during the time of his grave, when he was, we think, in the grave. He was holding a revival service in hell. He went there. Now, God's not willing that any should perish. You've got to understand something here. God loves everybody. He is the creator of the creature. And all his creatures, he wants to be sure to give them an opportunity to be saved. That's how much love he has. And so he went to paradise. He went to Hades and he went to paradise. But the reason he had to go to paradise is because he had to be the first fruits to heaven. So he took all those souls from Genesis up into his day with him to heaven. That's why the Apostle Paul says to be absent in the flesh is to be what? Present with the Lord. No longer paradise, heaven. Located in the north. We know that. Located in the north. You getting this? Are you getting this? Jesus arose from the dead on the feast of first fruits, because he had to be the first one to enter heaven. The church began on the fourth feast day. Anybody can name it for me? The feast of what? Starts with a P. Pentecost. Pentecost. The church began on Pentecost, the fourth feast day. And there is reason to believe the church will be raptured on the Feast of Trumpets. Why is that? Thessalonians says, the trump shall what? Sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So it's reason to believe the church will be raptured on the Feast of Trumpets. We don't know the day or the hour. That's what the scripture says. There is reason to believe. Now, the reason it's worded that way is because we can't be dogmatic. You know what dogmatic means? When there's a scripture verse that you know you can be 100% accurate on, that's being dogmatic. There's some things in scripture we can't be dogmatic, but we can be close. We can get it close. So there's reason to believe the second coming will occur and the tribulation period will end on the Day of Atonement. That's the sixth day. Then we have one more. There's reason to believe that the millennium will begin on the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the seventh day. All right. I hope if you were Jews, I won you over. All right. That's interesting. It's really something for you to ponder. Very interesting. Boy, I just thought that was excellent. The Antichrist, I'm going to close with some of this stuff, is also known as the man of sin, is referred to as the little horn. He is the beast that's out of the sea. He's a king of fierce countenance. You heard me read that. He's referred to as the lawless one. You want somebody that's lawless? The Antichrist will be. He'll be lawless. The prince that shall come is referred to as that prince that shall come. Jesus called him the abomination of desolation in Matthew 24:15. He said, will stand in the holy place. Other verses say that he will sit in the temple, he will sign a covenant, and he will demand worship. He will demand worship. All right, let's see what else we can give you. We have the UN, the United Nations. The head of the United Nations is a socialist. You can't hardly separate communism from socialism. It's like dividing 12 from a dozen. You can't divide. You can't take 12 away from a dozen. It's still a dozen. Socialism and communism go hand in hand. Any dictatorship that you see in the third world countries is socialism. What is socialism? Very simply this. It's government without God. It's government without God is socialism. Oh, there'll be gods. Socialists are okay with gods. Everybody has their own God, and we not want to offend them. So there'll be gods. It's okay to believe in gods, but they don't want you believing in the one and only God. That's the problem. Socialism, remember, is government without God. Don't forget it. It's a government without God. Every time there is a seal that is opened, you will hear thunder and a voice in heaven by one of the living creatures that will say, "Come and see. Come and see." Okay, I'm back in Daniel. I need to get back to Revelation. I'm going to have to finish. I'm right on time here. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. The first horse was a white horse. He that sat on it had a crown and a bow. The crown was given unto him. He went forth conquering and to conquer. Let's get one more horse in here, then we'll be ready to go home. Are you with me? Chapter 6, Revelation chapter 3, or chapter 6, verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." Now, the beast they're referring to are the four living creatures. How many horsemen are there? Four. How many living creatures is there? Four. And every living creature will say, "Come and see." And when that happens, the stall in heaven is opened, and the rider of the apocalypse comes forth. And when this happens in heaven, it happens in earth. You see, John is seeing this in heaven, but what he's seeing in heaven is actually happening on earth at the same time. So this rider, let's see, verse 4, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given. Do we have, there we go, thank you. It was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should, what does your Bible say next? They should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, there's wars, all kinds of wars. There's going to be wars as a result of this diplomat that's trying to do it this way. But this way is not always successful. When people don't do what you want them to do, then you do what? You make them do what you want to do. You make them do it. And that brings war. Red horse, blood. Sword, killing. Death, wars. It's believed during this red horse, Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39 will take place. What's that? Well, a leader will arise in Russia. A dictator will arise in Russia. And he will seek to destroy Israel. He will come against Israel. He will bring a great band of men with him. And the Lord will cause his own men to turn on one another and fight one another. That would probably account for the bloody red horse we have, for the blood. And so there'll be wars, wars, wars. fighting. Remember, he went forth to conquer. He wants to rule the entire world. He wants to be a world dictator. That's his desire. The devil will enter him and give him the power he needs. All the while we're watching from the balconies of heaven, this is happening. All because of God's people, Israel. God loves his people. He's not willing that any should perish. They need to get saved, and they will. Many of them will get saved. Yes, they will get saved. So there'll be wars and great wars. And what always happens when there's wars? We got to stop here, but this is what we'll pick up. We'll have singers. Well, maybe I'll try to get some preaching in next Sunday. We'll see. I'll have to talk to the group and see how much time they can give me. We'll try to get some more in. Anyway, we're verse 5. He opened the third seal, and of course he heard the third beast say, come and see, and he beheld a black horse. Can you get, there we go. What does black mean? When you have wars, what happens when you have wars? Death. What else? Why is the lady holding a balance of scales? I heard it. Famine, scarcity of food. Scarcity of food. That's why that'll be a time when people that are marked by the Antichrist, they can't buy or sell unless they have the what? The mark of the beast. You heard it before, and now you know. After war, there's famines. Throughout the world, there's famines. Jesus came as the true bread. The Antichrist is a false bread. He promised you it would be great. Remember his great words? Daniel said he has great words. He's telling everybody it's going to be fine. Craft will prosper. The economy will be just fine. And all of a sudden, there's what's going to happen. Famine. Why? Because of his greed to be a world dictator like Hitler. Sound familiar? Whew. It's all here. It's all in the book of Revelation. It's time to go home. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Those who will go through the tribulation, people, are the ones that will be living. That will be living, that generation that will be living when the rapture takes place, they will go through their tribulation period. Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. I'm not sure. I want to be. Are you here today? You want to slip your hand up? I'm not going to embarrass you. Just have you put your hand up and go pray with you right where you're seated. I'm not sure that I'm ready to go for this. There's one. Anybody else? There's another one. Anybody else? I'm going to pray with you. Okay. There's another one. Let's pray. If you're here today and you put your hand up, you don't need to say this out loud. You can say that to yourself. Much like Hannah, when she was praying before the Lord and Eli marked her mouth, she had thought that she'd been drinking. But she was talking to the Lord and her mouth moved, but he didn't hear anything. And that's what Eli heard. And Lord heard her prayer, so I know he can hear your prayer today. If you put your hand up, you say this with me. Dear Jesus, I'm not sure whether I'm saved or not. I ask you to forgive me of my sins today. Forgive me. And I invite you to come and live in my heart from this day forward. I want to live for you. And Lord, I want you to give me that assurance that I would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved, that I'm ready. And each day and each week and each year that we live, I know I'll be okay. I'll be ready to go. If you prayed that prayer with me today, the Bible says you're saved. In the book of Romans, it said, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. There is no ifs, there is nothing else. That's it. And if you said that, you're saved. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. You are saved. Salvation isn't based on feeling. It's based on the fact that Romans says you confess him, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. So today you're saved. I'm going to ask all of you to stand. What a blessing it's been to be with you today. I just love studying If you just know how much I love to study this book, I just love it. I can study for hours on end. It's just so interesting. It's just, Revelation is like a big, beautiful puzzle. You know, and a puzzle has each piece and it all has a place. And when you understand the book of Revelation, you'll understand how much God loves you. But Roger, there's so much terrible stuff, yes. But God's mercy and his long suffering, he loves you so much. Even in tribulation, he gives them an opportunity to be saved. He just never stops. He wants people to be saved. He doesn't want them to be lost. Father in heaven, time to go home. It has been a joy to be here today. I just really enjoyed it. Enjoy being with my family. Lord, I don't know what kind of a week they have, but I know that you're holding the week for this week. It'll be a good week. Lord, you're in charge. Nobody else is. You're in charge. I'd rather have you be in charge than anyone else. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for each and every one. Thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the opportunity to share your wonderful word. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody says, amen. Lord bless you.